Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, we have recovered slightly almost from Christmas slash New Year, but we did get through a whole host of games. So, well, why not just gather us around the table and just talk about the best holiday games?
What a wholesome time.
I know, yeah. Based off the fact that we, looking across the things that we've sort of thrown into this little document, we played a right wide selection of bits and ting. So I'm going to throw it across to Rich first, because both you guys played some Pokemon, but Rich, you went back to some Pokemon.
Yes, I picked up Sword on launch, and I played it a lot on launch weekend. I was traveling down and back from London on launch weekend, so I had a lot of time to sit and play with my pokes, get my boy Yamper. He's my boy.
Have you not got a level 50 Wooloo yet?
No.
I
caught myself a Wooloo, and I'm like, yeah, you're cool, but your moves are crap. For like quite a good... I don't know when they start learning like better moves.
I don't know. His is all just pro four
like,
rolls.
Yeah, I'm not... I mean, I've got to give it to Wooloo rolling around. I'm a big fan of that. But I played about half the game, probably got through half the gyms, and then eventually I decided, oh God, I should really go back to at least beat Leon, beat the championship, and at least get to the credits. And I did that over Christmas. Mm-hmm. And had a great old time. It's one of those things I've been looking at, thinking, I should really play more of this, and I've been stopping myself, and for some reason, then I pick it up and open it, and I'm off again for another few hours. So I loved it.
It was a weird thing with Sword and Shield, because it is kind of old school. I got lost in it for a good few hours as well. Josh, you discovered Pokemon at Christmas.
I did. I mean, Pokemon has eluded me for so long. I used to watch the TV show when I was a child. I used to cry at Pokemon the movie, but can never get the games for whatever reason. So I picked up, on Scott Telford's recommendation, actually, because I was stuck whether to get the new one, Sword or Shield, or go back to Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu. And on your recommendation...
I know, apparently I got it wrong.
I decided to go back to that, thinking, you know what? This is based on a game everyone loves, so I'll get a nostalgia hit for a game I didn't play while also getting introduced to, you know, the franchise, because I know all the Pokemon, I know all their evolutions and stuff just through like sheer osmosis, and I played it for about 15 hours, had quite a nice time, but I'm not sure whether it's for me. I just don't know whether it's the game I've jumped into or whether it's the entire concept, but something just didn't click. It did for about 5 hours while I was walking around all these towns, talking to everyone. You know, that was so cool, but the sheer act of picking up Pokemon and then battling Pokemon was kind of infuriating at times. When it was the gym leaders or when it was something special, I had a lot of fun. But when I would walk around a corner and I would see three people stood there and I knew I couldn't slip around their back and I would have to fight all of them, dread and fear came over me in a way that I've never felt before.
Just fight them?
It was so repetitive, man.
Well, yeah, but it's turn-based.
Funnily enough, that's actually something I grew out of, because I was always the same. I was like, I can't be asked to fight you. And then I get to the gym leader and go, I'm horrendously under-leveled.
Yeah.
And then realize, wait, I need to progress the game. I think it's... Do you know what it is? It's... do you remember Ruby and Sapphire well, Scott?
No, I'm a Gen 1 boy.
Gen 1. There's a point in Ruby and Sapphire when you are on your way to... I want to say Rust. It's not Rustboro. Anyway, you're on your way to one of the towns, and when you get there, you get a bike, and there's a bike path between like the two towns above and below each other, and you can only take the bike path when you've got a bike, and you get the bike once you have to take the low road, which is all tall grass, and you have to battle Mei, your rival slash neighbor, whatever, on this pass, and that was the hardest battle in Gen 3. I hated it. And I think that's why whenever I came up against Hop, I'm like, oh God, is this going to be the underneath the bike route thing in Gen 3 and scare me off doing trainer battles? There was another one in, I think it's like Beauty Brook, for some reason I remember her name in Gen 3 that you come across, and she was a bitch.
Early video games crushes.
Yeah, she crushed me. Many times. So yeah, I understand that the not wanting to battle the random trainers. I get it, but it's also like it's a fundamental part of the game.
It was a difficult thing because when I started off and it was all catching Pokemon, I was kind of like, I'm sick of this, I want to battle. Then I got too much of the battles and I just wanted to catch Pokemon, but there were no Pokemon around. There were just people trying to kill me or fight this poor child. I'm just trying to walk around the world.
But they're all, they are older and you are a child.
A lot of them
but
are older.
Sort of saying,
there are some kids, go but, home, you know, mate. There are a lot of scamps. Yeah. But no, I don't know what it is, because I wanted this style of game. It's not that I was unprepared for it. I wanted this to chill out with over Christmas. I don't know whether because there was no excitement or wonder in the Pokemon I was catching, because I knew what all of them were and I sort of kind of to an extent knew the moves. I don't know whether it's that. It is obviously, it's kind of a very much a streamlined version of this game as far as I can tell, so it's quite easy. I don't know whether that was the problem, whether it was no challenge or what, whether I just need to buy Sword and or Shield to figure out what the crack is, or whether it's just not for me, and that's fine, because for a lot of people, and I'm pleased that people enjoy it, and I like the iconography of it. Maybe the game is just on for old JB over here.
little JB. I thought that you would, because like, I recommended Let's Go, because I thought you would like the old school stuff, the Gen 1 stuff, but little did I know.
Seeing, you know, people that you turn up, you know, like Brock or Team Rocket and stuff, chasing those guys around, that was a lot of fun, but maybe it's just I've had too much exposure to the Pokemon themselves, and, you know, through playing things like Let's Go, the mobile version, or having the trading cards when I was younger.
I mean,
I don't know, Scott. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I just, sadly, this is a fandom that isn't for me.
No, true. This feels like we're interrogating you at this point. Do you think you'll ever go back to it? You've already deleted it, haven't you?
It's not deleted, but it's gone. I probably wouldn't go back to this version of the game, but I would be interested in picking up Sword or Shield or something. But it's based on like UK cities as far as I can tell.
The Galar region. Cool. I'm going to throw something in. I went back to, I've just written down so much old stuff because I got an Xbox One X and I have to justify that, which means I go back to things from 15 years ago and play them in 4K. So I picked up tons of games from like 2002 and 3 or whatever. And I'm not going to focus on them, but I did play Dead to Rights and Full Spectrum Warrior and Final Fantasy 13 because I got this weird itch where I was like, I want to see what everything looks like all up-resed. Turns out it's just cleaner. It's just sort of cleaner voxels. Which you've done for ages as a PC person, because you've emulated anything.
There's nothing like emulating a game and seeing it actually being rendered in 1080p. It's quite lovely. But then it actually puts into perspective, like, you don't sometimes realize when you look at like N64 games that have been scaled up, the actual UI, the text on screen, they're not like vector fonts like you have on a computer. They are literally sprites.
Yep.
So when you look at something like GoldenEye playing at 1080p, you've got it looking really crisp and lovely. And then you've got like 10
jagged
round 80, and it's like really blocky and horrid. It's like looking at Mario Kart 64 with their 2D, 3D sprites looking all jagged and rubbish at scale.
Just
up,
the curvature of those letters will take your eye out, but let's just...
I love that. I'm always surprised when I plug in my PlayStation 2 on the PlayStation 1 and I realize that it's not full screen, and I wouldn't have it anyway, but that it's, you know, the aspect ratio is all off.
You got to play on Xbox One X, it scales, makes it work.
At the end of the day, a hit and run on the PS2 has got a widescreen option, so I can still play it in completely full screen. So I'm all good.
It's good. I mean, because I got my N64 last year and I got an HD up-res box thing for that, which just... I realized that I'm putting this out there because a lot of people think that old-school pixel graphics in HD and 4K are, you know, gorgeous versus trying to upscale pixels and trying to upscale voxels, 3D polygon stuff, that looks ugly. I don't think it does. I think lovely, crisp voxels, like crisp N64 or PS1 graphics can still look really fun and awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm putting that out there that still stuff looks great. Mario 64 in HD looks
gorgeous.
I think
that's why it's like... I remember when we did Chatty about when I said about remastering Hit and Run as an example, and I said don't do anything to it, just upscale it, just make it run at 1080p and it'll still be the same. Like, you don't need to change it.
No.
If you do, it might lose its heart. If you're doing something like Final Fantasy VII Remake and redoing it entirely, fair enough, but just like polishing it a little bit, it's like, no, leave it as it was.
There is like a little bit towards the end of the 90s where like stuff like the golden ice faces are just sort of look like blurry, like weird. I don't know, that stuff, I'll see the argument for that not looking the best, but like,
even, like
voxels,
when you look back at something like Metal Gear Solid and like the faces are like 4 pixels wide,
the eyes are just shadows and nothing else.
Kane's original face,
it's him looking freaked out. So yeah, I had a bunch of old stuff, and then I went through Doom again. I'm not going to talk about Doom too much because we mentioned it on yesterday. this podcast because we're talking about Doom Eternal. But I want to mention Skate and Burnout. Are you familiar with Skate and or Burnout?
Mostly Burnout, but good. I have a fondness for Skate as well.
Good.
I watched a lot of Skate 3 on YouTube, and there was that massive resurgence of people playing Skate 3.
Skate 3 is great. Skate 3 was the one that I sort of overlooked when it first came out because I adored Skate 2, and I thought 3 was just too much of the same. But having had, I don't know how many years it's been since Skate 3 first came out, I think 2010?
Oh, it was like 2011 or something like that.
Something like that. I should put it on all the decade lists if it's been this decade. last decade. But so like just going back to that, I've done a whole list on like old school game mechanics that kind of just went away. But like Skate's control scheme is unlike anything else. And they only really built on it in terms of, you know, like both triggers or your arms to sort of grab stuff. You use the right stick to replicate your foot. So if you want to do a kick flip, you need to flick it in certain directions. Like even down to, you know, things like you hold B to sort of let go of both arms when you're in midair. Just bits and bobs like that let you think in a way that is adjacent to being a skater.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff.
I think it's because at the time, obviously, you know, Tony Hawk's, his series had a stranglehold on the market at the time, even as far as, you know, those later games. And it's kind of, at least for me, I was Tony Hawk's through and through and I loved skateboarding. But when it came to Skate, I got to that much later because I wanted the ease, accessibility, the arcadeness of Tony Hawk's where I can press a button and do a Mick twist. I didn't want to fiddle around with thumbsticks and, you know, having to really dive into the sort of, not simulation aspects, but certainly more, you know, challenging aspects of skateboarding to pull off simple tricks. But now I think if you go back to those later games, they are so good. It makes you wonder why no one's at least done a spiritual successor to it in the same vein.
We are getting Session.
Session is the closest we get into that.
But it's not, I don't think the same staff are carrying over. It's just that Session are trying to plug that gap from Skate. But yeah, everything I'm mentioning is on Xbox backwards compatible. That's how I was able to sort of go back to it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But yeah, like, I mean, the thing with playing on the X as well is that it eliminates load time. So I don't know if they ever got in the way before. But like in terms of putting down a marker at the top of like the mega skate park at the top of the city and going all the way down to the bottom and then just reset yourself in an instant and do it all again. Like I just got lost in trying to like learn as many tricks as possible. And I got lost in a whole YouTube algorithmic, this next video of just endless skating tricks and stuff. And it was 2002 all over again. So I was having a lovely time. But yeah, in regards to like the future of skate, I don't know what the hell's happening with the franchise, but I would still say that skate 3 is totally worth going back to now if you ever had a itch to scratch for the old school controls. Josh, you mentioned going back to New Vegas again.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? I've got a long... I'll start from the beginning. So I bought a new television because I wanted to see what this HDR stuff was all about, you know, the proper good stuff. So I bought that and I decided the best...
How much was the TV?
I'm not going to say. How much was the best game to try it out with was Fallout New Vegas.
I don't know. I didn't want to watch
any new television, but for some reason I had, like you said, an itch that needed scratching, so I put that in because I love Fallout New Vegas. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Mm. But paradoxically, I've never actually finished it. I've never finished the main story.
Really?
I get so lost in the side questing and stuff that I never want to bring myself to permanently, you know, finish the game. Because when you do get to the end of that story, even though it kicks you back afterwards, you tie off a lot of the settlement quests and things change. So I went back to try to play through the entire thing, and it was so, so good. The way you can impact that world was amazing. And at first I wanted to just jump in and do the main story, but I got so, you know, caught up with the side quest. Mm-hmm. I took it slower than I have the past few times I've replayed it and really drank it in, and I didn't want to stop it. I bought the DLC for the first time. I haven't finished it all yet, but I've finished two of them, I think, and that's just as good. They tell sort of like standalone stories that all of the DLC are threaded through with an overall story, but each individual thing is so interesting and inspired and unique from what else, everything else you get. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the best games of all time. It's one of the best RPGs of all time.
Did you finish it? You finished it?
I did finish it this
Yay!
Time. I was so happy when I got to the end, and I found out that, oh my god, most of my actions had consequences, and that was so cool. Because another thing that I don't know whether you guys get this, but when I go back and replay old games, I often replay them in the same way that I played them the first time. So every single time,
sometimes, I find it hard to deviate off the path that I took. And sometimes when a game expects you to replay it, that's when I'm kind of like,
yes.
It's like, that's why I still haven't been back to Nier Automata and been through that again, as much as I adored it the first time I played it through.
That would take forever.
It's just like, I need to be away from this for like 3 years and then get to the itch and then go back to it.
That was it, because I thought I must have gone back to Fallout New Vegas too frequently, because I did everything the same. For instance, at the beginning, you meet the powder gangers. And I used to always just go to their base and kill them. Mm. And this time I decided not to do that. And lo and behold, there was a bunch of quests tied to those people that I missed the first time around. So it was cool. It was almost like experiencing it fresh for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it made me enjoy it even more.
That was kind of my thing with, I went back through the Portal games. Because like, Rich, we were talking about games of the decade before Christmas.
And I was like, where's Portal 2?
I know.
Any of this, Scott?
And I remember with Portal 2, when it very first came out, one of my friends kicked the door in and just said, look, sit down, we're playing through Portal 2. And we did it in literally one sitting. Which meant that I played it right when it came out, but it didn't stick with me as much. I remember loving Stephen Merchant as Wheatley, but that was about it. And we sort of went through it with him sort of like telling me how to do some of the puzzles and whatever. So when I went back to it, that was like going back through Portal 2 for the first time. Like, I had kind of some reference points, but not many.
Yeah.
And that game is phenomenal.
Pretty good.
Genuinely, just the conversation we've been having over the last like month or so talking about it, and anyone that brought it up to when we talk about best games of the decade, it's genuinely one of those things where I can't fault it.
No.
At all.
I think,
literally,
God,
there's nothing about that game that is bad.
There's nothing that's bad. The only thing that I think stood out in terms of something where I was like, oh man, I kind of want to get past this, is the bit after Wheatley betrays you, spoilers, and you fall down into the underground of Aperture, and you do all those sort
you
of
see,
like,
I really
rusty
like,
bits.
I really like the idea of retreading the history of the facility. Mm-hmm. I find that stuff kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. It was like almost like a fever dream when I first played Portal 2 back in 2011.
Well, the thing that with that as well, because I then went back through the first one, which is way, way shorter, way more like Attack Demo 4, the sequel. But they seed that stuff in the first one too, with the handprints, and you can find the little secret rooms and stuff. Like, the idea that there's this like sinister underbelly or undercurrent of like, I mean, they talk about human testing, but like, you know, you have this like twisted sort of macabre approach to like the lightheartedness of GLaDOS, but then the reality that like bodies are just being thrown through this facility. And I think that's just really well done. But yeah, the writing in Portal 2, like, easily some of the best comedic writing in gaming history by far.
It's one of those games that, you know, it achieves everything it sets out to achieve. Mm-hmm. It's like so perfectly, and it's so self-contained. And if you like that style of game, if you buy into its world, if you buy into those mechanics, if you buy into that aesthetic, you're not going to be disappointed. If you look at that game and you think, I'm going to like this, you're going to like it. You know what I mean?
I feel like Portal 2 especially is one of those titles that I would expect everyone to play.
You should,
because it's got such a broad appeal, and because it's not necessarily like an action game, it's not necessarily like a platform game, it's more of a puzzler. Puzzle games usually have got a bigger appeal, a wider appeal to more people. Like, there are a lot of people I know who don't say, not really people who play games, but have played Portal 2 and adore it. And it's when I speak to people and they haven't played Portal 2, and I'm just like, sorry? There's people in this office that haven't played Portal 2.
I know.
And I'm thinking, how?
Their lives, like, could be improved so much.
It's not, I'm not saying it's like I'm not gatekeeping, I'm not saying it's a barrier for entry, but it's one of those games, it's like, you have to give this your time.
Yeah. It's like a legendary film or something. It's just something that, like, even if you somehow bounce off it, it's essential gaming. Like, I mean, and I wish I'd played it earlier. We should end on Remnant, because I finally played it and you've played a lot of it.
I've been sort of sitting on Remnant, as I said in the my Overlooked of 2019 chatty, and I've mentioned it a couple of times before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that creeped up on me very much so this year, and it definitely got my foot in with Souls-likes. It got me into Code Vein. which meant I was quite willing to give that a go, and I really, really like it, and I'm hoping to play more of that. I've got the Surge.
I know the second one's better,
but I've got the first one. But yeah, just the other way, literally just before New Year, and I came back up here after Christmas with my family, I just thought, yeah, I just gonna play Remnant. I said to go back to Remnant because they've got a roadmap through to the end of this year. And apparently there's a whole new like mega DLC coming out for it this year, which is very exciting. But they've given you the ability to re-roll just particular parts of the game rather than just re-rolling the entire campaign because it's procedurally generated, or it's, you know, snap map style stuff. So it is different every time you play, you get different boss encounters. So I've just been going through it again, just playing on the Earth realm, because there's a handful of different realms you go through, and I've just been re-rolling Earth over and over again and just getting all the different bosses. So the other night I'm playing with two friends and we're just getting to bosses I didn't play through my first like 30 hours of the game and just going back to that and getting back into it, and it's like, God, this game's so much fun. And it's one of those things where you play it to death and then it disappears out of your life again and suddenly it's back. It's one of those titles.
Yeah, it took me a while to, because it's on Game Pass now, so that was how I finally got it. And it's like the shooting in that game is brilliant. Like they give, I think it's because they ragged all the bodies, they give all the weapons have so much punch and weight and momentum and stuff to them, so that when you're unloading a shotgun on like three dudes and they all like, you know, go pirouetting across the environment.
Even though you're shooting, and I know obviously shooting isn't a very Dark Souls thing, but even using like magic and the way that it's not like horrendously OP, like they've still managed to get that over with gunplay in this, and that's why it is still more of a Souls like rather than just a third person shooter. And yeah, it clicked with me so much.
Josh, have you been tempted?
A little bit, but when it comes to all of these kind of like Souls-like games, Code Vein I was really interested in purely for the character creator. But
that was brilliant.
I know, I always question if I have the time, and that sounds kind of like a weird, bad excuse, but those games are such an investment. And I feel like often I get, when I play a Dark Souls or Bloodborne, which I revisit semi-regularly, I get my fill of that sort of style of game. I know that's like saying you only should play it, by that account, I should play one shooter for my entire life.
Right.
But I don't know, that specific itch, again, I feel like I scratch with other games, and then as much as I think Remnant looks really good and Code Vein looks really good, I can never bring myself to actually play it.
I think Remnant sits in more of a unique position because it's not, the combat especially isn't necessarily like Bloodborne or Dark Souls or even like Code Vein.
That's what I would say, like having played every single Souls thing under the sun. I think Remnant is different enough. Like the combat is so snappy, it's so well done. Gunfire are a great studio.
And especially since you can co-op on it, and like in Dark Souls you like summon people or something, it's a bit like not necessarily like one-to-one like proper co-op, whereas with Remnant it is, you literally just join the same game and off you go across the world together, and it's amazing to do it with friends. Like me and my friend did about 80-90% of the game together. We just didn't do the final boss. He still hasn't beaten it.
Nice.
I have like twice now. But it's something that I highly recommend if you are somebody that likes Souls likes or Souls games. But even if you're not, even if you're newer to them like I am, like that was for me, as I said, the foot in the door for Souls likes. It is a fantastic place to start, and it's on Game Pass.
That got me in.
Like, don't want to say you've got no excuse, but
you might have an Xbox.
You could say it's not on Game Pass on PC. It's on Xbox.
Still though, yeah, that's totally recommendable. And considering how packed the Souls genre is, for me it totally stands out. But yeah, we're a bit cool for time today, so it's a little bit of a shorter podcast. But we will resume next week with even more bods as they return to the office. But yes,
bod pods.
For now, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Hope you have a nice Christmas.
Happy New Year.
You're pretty good.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.